The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, you know what, Jen? Sometimes I put stuff in my hair to get rid of some of the gray.
So attractive one day, not attractive the next.
Have you come across this?
Yes, I am familiar with this syndrome. She's a two-face.
And when I come in the next day, you can kind of notice a little bit. But by the third or fourth day, you forget, okay? Yes, there I said.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
You expecting someone else?
You never know.
You know, you might want to take the tunnel.
So, what do you feel like eating, Chinese or Italian?
I put a little hair product in. Sue me. Who cares? Own it.
Kramer, hi.
Oh, hello.
It's Gwen. We met at the coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
I'm dating your friend Jerry.
I don't know who you really are, but I've seen Jerry's girlfriend, and she's not you. You're much better looking.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
The rare Sunday on a Thursday. Packers play tonight in Detroit against the Lions. Huge matchup for the green and gold. And when you're playing on a Thursday, anyway, I guess you never had to worry about this, Chew. You guys didn't have Thursday primetime games. You're so old that the only Thursday games were Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how do you handle a primetime game? Like, are you even, it's 7:02. Are you even awake in the hotel yet if you are playing a primetime game?
As a player. 7:02, no. Wake up is probably, although they don't want you sleeping. Wake up's probably 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I would say breakfast is 9 o'clock. It's painful, man. It is so. You go back in the day when we used to play Monday night games on the East Coast. Remember those games started on the East Coast at like 9 o'clock?
Oh, yeah. Like Monday night football would start so late.
So you'd take like two naps in the day. So you'd wake up at 8, sit in your room, maybe get in the shower, go eat breakfast. Everything is like you drag it on longer than it needs to be. So then you eat breakfast for about an hour, or you shoot the bull. So that's 10. Your first meetings are probably 10:30. They didn't give you lunch.
What?
They didn't give you lunch.
What? No, why would they not give you lunch?
Because they figured you're going to eat a full breakfast. You don't want three meals in you. And then your pregame meal.
I would assume you didn't want dinner. I would assume that you'd want to not eat closer to the game.
Well, you wind
I'm not,
up
I'm
having...
not a nutritionist, but.
You'd have a Lenner. We called it Lenner.
Okay.
Lunch and dinner, probably, if we were playing at 9, probably 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So they'd feed us at 4, so you would have 10:30 meetings. They'd beat a dead horse till about 11:30. You go back, watch a little bit of a movie, maybe go outside and go for a walk. I remember back in college, Coughlin, you know, Tom Coughlin, coach of the Giants, he'd make us go on a team walk.
Wait.
Before a night game. Yes.
All right. So you're at Boston.
Mandatory team walk.
Let me get this straight. You're at Boston College. This is he was your coach your junior and senior year, right? Your last 2 years?
Yeah. So just my last year.
Just your last year.
Just my senior
year. Just your senior year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's like 100 guys on a college football team. I guess if you're traveling, though, it's like 85 or whatever, because that's what you're dressing. So that's what you go with. So he is making 85 guys just wander the streets of a random ACC town?
Yeah, we were like kindergartners. Everyone would have to wear their track suit, their Boston College track suit.
Do you have a buddy system?
And he would, he'd lead the way, but it'd all be single file, and we'd go for about a half-mile walk. Yeah.
I guess it's better than
sitting in the hotel.
Did he at least take you to anything? Like, I'm trying to think of an exciting ACC town. Like, maybe you go see something historical. Or are you guys just, like, wandering the streets randomly? Was there a rhyme or reason? Or were you actually going somewhere to be like, oh, hey, we're in this city, so let's go see this thing? So, for example, no. I mean, obviously you wouldn't do this because you were in Boston, but teams that would come to BC, you know, maybe walk around and see some of the sites, the historical sites that there are in Boston.
No, there was just a half-mile walk, and you had to keep it moving. There's no stopping, no nothing. But then when you get to the pros, there's different rules.
Did you have to hold your buddy's hand when you cross the street, look both ways?
You had to be on the buddy system. They had us tethered. You know, you all had to hold the rope as you walked.
Like kids at the zoo.
But there were rules.
Coughlin's got 85 grown-ass men on leashes.
Yeah. In the you know, when I got to Green Bay, there were rules when we went on the road. You couldn't go shopping. You could only see family, I think, up until noon, and then you couldn't see family anymore. So a lot of it was just laying in bed and watching movies. You'd probably watch two movies before that.
Just on like the hotel pay-per-view?
Yeah, and then you'd be so bored, everyone would go on the early bus to the stadium.
Just
to get the hell out of the hotel. So painful as ever, those 9 o'clock. And then on top of that, after the game, because it's always 3 hours. When the game ends, it's always 3 hours wheels up. Sometimes it's different, though, if we didn't have to load the equipment onto the plane. So if you're playing in Detroit, you're playing in Cleveland, you're playing in Kansas City, they would take an 18-wheeler full of the equipment, and it was a little quicker. But when you played West Coast, East Coast, Florida, you had to sit there. And it's not just players' equipment. It's all the training room stuff. It's all the cold weather gear if you need it. It is everything. And that took – because they had to load it, obviously, onto a truck and then bring it to the plane and then unload. And you'd just sit there, and you'd be sitting on the plane probably for an hour just waiting for them to load the plane. So playing on the road is not fun.
So that would be a disadvantage for the Packers tonight, you would say? Kind of waiting around the hotel all day.
Playing on the road is always a disadvantage.
Getting anxious.
Yeah. Because I think now, do they let the players sleep in their own bed, or do they have to go to the hotel?
So I don't know if they switched it back after Rodgers left. But for the Packers, again, it's because it's each to each their own, right? Like, one of the things that Rodgers fought for toward the end of his time as a member of the Packers was, hey, when you're a veteran, you should be able to sleep at your own home. You don't have to go to the team hotel when you're at home. You know, so that was, I don't know if they switched that back because this team is so young, Chew, that they want to monitor them, that they haven't earned the trust that, you know, an Aaron Rodgers or a Devontae Adams or a Mercedes Lewis, like the guys that they had, you know, in those last few Rodgers years that were veterans. I don't know if they want to kind of monitor the rest of them. I don't know what their policy is now.
Sounds like a perfect question.
See, I didn't become weird when I started doing radio. I was always weird because I'm a big fat guy. Hey. Okay, I'll just let it go because you're my buddy. I was a big bath guy. So a lot of times, because it was usually me, Brett, and Frank would go out to dinner on the road, right?
Okay.
And they would come and say, you're ready to go, and I'd be in the bathtub.
With your rubber ducky? Did you bring that with you on the road?
So they're like, what is your problem? You don't even fit in that thing. I'm like, leave me alone.
Well, that's
so
true.
I have to change it.
That's true.
So
like, a bathtub in a hotel? Like, that doesn't work.
Your knees are out of the water, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
But I like to bathe, you know? Because at home, you had all the accoutrements, right? You had your hot tub, you had the backgammon. Much more comfortable. So I made them, when I was on the road, bring an oversized trash can.
Okay.
You know, the big plastic ones.
Yeah.
And I would fill it with warm water in the shower, and I'd sit in there and soak in it. I don't know, for 20 minutes or so.
What, like Oscar the Grouch? Like, so what you're telling me is when you were on the road.
I'm telling you, Gabe.
You combined two Sesame Street characters. You were Ernie with your rubber ducky in the bath, but then you had to be Ernie in the trash can. Therefore, you were Oscar the Grouch.
And everyone would be like, what is your problem? I'm like, I like warm water. I can't help it. you know? Like right now, it's so cold down here, 50s, and I have my pool at 90.
Hold on. This leads me to this question. Maybe, Josh, maybe you have the same question. When's the last time you took a bath?
Well, I just said my pool is at 90.
Well, yeah, but the pool, a pool's not a bath.
Ah, when it's pretty luscious when it's 90, Gabe, and it's 50 out.
I have questions about sort of how the whole large trash can thing played out. You would just turn on the shower and make it hot as possible, fill a trash can, and then get inside of it in the showers while other people were, like, showering?
And have the shower running on me while I was in the trash can. Yes. I told you, I've been weird my whole life.
Were you trying to simulate a hot tub, or were you trying to simulate a bath?
Kind of.
Why not both?
Well, the only way you're getting in bubbles in that trash can.
Yep.
So, yes, yeah. I had a bad back. I like to have it loose, get loosey-goosey, and it just feel better.
Where did this idea come from? Like, when did you go, hey, you know what I could do? I could have a trash can in here and I could soak while I shower. Where did that idea come from? How did it go? And how sideways did the equipment staff look at you and you went, hey, can we get a huge ass trash can that I can fit in, that I can soak in while I shower?
Well, you guys have all seen Hard Knocks. In the middle of the summer training camp, guys get into cold plunges.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? They used to fill up trash cans like that and put ice in cold water. And those are
old school
great.
Ice bath.
Those bring your legs back. They really do.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, well, why can't I do the same thing with hot water? So I made the equipment staff bring one of those on the road for me to take a bath in warm water for the away games. I did it every game.
Okay, so did you start doing this as a rookie? Did you start doing this after established?
You got to have a little clout in order for them to get the big plastic.
Because this screams, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the movie Bull Durham, but there is a part where Kevin Costner is giving the rookie the lesson. He's like, you can't have fungus on your shower shoes unless you win 20 in the show. When you win 20 games in the show and you have fungus on your shower shoes, the press will call you colorful. Until then, that means you're a slob. So I feel like this is a situation, like, until you are a Pro Bowler doing this, that now you're colorful. You're just a character. But when you're just a nobody, you're just a weirdo who does it.
I would say my fourth year, I was afforded that privilege to have them bring the plastic bucket in. But you wouldn't believe how many guys, it's like a bunch of girls, how many guys put their uniform and then stand in front of the mirror to make sure everything is fine. I'm serious.
Look good, play good.
Yeah, I don't think that would shock me. Honestly, Chu, I don't think that would shock me. Because, turns out NFL players are vain. No way. Is that why they're spending a lot of money on the clothes that they're wearing coming into the stadium? Shocking.
Yeah.
But, and
now,
again,
the only thing...
Well, because I remember as a kid, I remember when Andre got hurt because he had to be out there for kickoff because Desmond was late getting out of the locker room when you
that
guys played
Biebs.
The 49ers.
No, that was...
Oh, that was Biebs who got hurt.
Yeah, that was Biebs.
Because somebody had to go out there to cover for Desmond because it was, for those who don't remember the game, first playoff game in the Super Bowl run of 96, Lambeau Field was a mess. It was rainy. It was mucky. Like, they had to replace the field after this game. It was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was just in mud. And Desmond Howard came out of the locker room for the second half as clean as you could possibly be because he had to change his uniform. Yeah. But because he changed his uniform, he was late out there to receive the second half kickoff. Biebs went out there and took a shot. And ended up,
it just so happened that San Francisco was kicking off
as he was coming out of the
direction of our tunnel. So Desmond was walking out of the tunnel as Biebs was halfway across the field to fill his spot. And it was disastrous because Biebs didn't get there in time.
Yep.
San Francisco recovers the kick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was Holmgren mad.
I can't imagine.
He had every right to be mad.
Can't imagine.
Know? Because it's like Desmond, you're not meeting with anyone. Typically, you don't play receiver, right?
Yeah.
You're a receiver in name only, so it's not like you have to get with the receivers
and
say,
job.
Here, this is what we're doing here. This is a game time adjustment. He was kind of in his own little world. Thank God we won.
I believe there has also been, it was in recent history, I believe it was a college player blamed the way he looked to the reason he played poorly. He said he didn't feel good coming out of the locker room, so that led to him playing a bad game.
I get that. No. Josh, totally get it. Because, Gabe, I told you, when I play golf, I cannot wear black shoes with shorts.
Yeah.
It's distracting. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Well, I mean, I can, but I know he has said that before.
Now, I didn't. Like, here's the deal. Help me out. Intricacy that you guys didn't know. Okay. When a team comes into play at Lambeau, they're wearing white, right?
Yes.
So you had to wear white gloves. When you go on the road, right, and we're wearing white and the other team's wearing dark, you have to wear dark gloves.
Yep.
You know why that is?
Holding.
Why?
You can hold them.
You can hold that. It blends into the color of the uniform.
John,
and I hated wearing black gloves. Because they just don't look right. I don't know. They didn't look right.
Well, back in the day, now you've got like different colorways, right? Like now you can have all those. Yeah. I'm sure when you played, the options were black or white gloves. Like you couldn't get the green gloves that you see guys wear now that match the uniform. John in MKE makes a good point here. If I'm going to get fined five grand for having my socks down, I might take a look in the mirror myself. And they were a lot more strict back in the day, Chewy, with you guys about how the uniform
looked. And we hated it. Because it had to be whatever your team color was. For us, it was half green, half white. I hated the look. It looked terrible.
But you had to make sure the socks were a certain length.
You looked like a stosh.
Yeah, otherwise you were going to...
And then the uniform police would come over and tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, pull your socks up or pull your socks down. And be like, shut up, Richard.
Wait, was that like an NFL person or somebody on your... team looking.
It was an NFL, and you know who the cop was? I guess he got promoted because Adam was telling us. No, that was Jordy Nelson. Billy Scrotum is the uniform cop in Green Bay.
Yeah, I think he used to be. I don't know.
You know
who
was when I played?
Who was it?
Merton Hanks was.
Really?
Like at the end of my career? Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Huh.
Former 49ers safety. We've got a lot of questions we got to ask Jason, getting ready for this Packers-Lions game coming up later tonight. But you've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees. From full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing, ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Sup, dude?
How we doing?
Doing well, bud. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Did you know that Chewy used to take a garbage can into the shower and fill it up with hot water and soak himself while in the shower while he was a member of the Green Bay Packers?
I always thought he filled it up with something else. Sorry. No, I did not know that.
I'm a big bath guy, Jason. You? You like a bath?
No, I hate the bath.
When's the last time you took a bath?
Why? Tepid pool of your own filth?
Yeah, exactly.
Germs don't bother me.
When's the last time you think you took a bath, Jason?
That's a great question. What am I? This is 24.
Carry the one.
1979.
Oof. All right.
Wow, now, it leads to another question, though, because I've considered this. Because it's not really a bath. Instead, it's torture, in my opinion. But how on earth do you ever get accustomed to cold tubs? Like, I'm the guy that when he gets in the pool, the girls make fun of me because I make this like high pitch woo, 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 as I'm getting into like an 80-degree swimming pool. So the cold tub is something I don't see myself handling well.
You have to deal with the pain for about 2 minutes. And then your body just goes numb. But, Jason, when you come out of that, especially during training camp, when you come out of that cold plunge, your legs come back to you. It's amazing. They really do. Because you do get tired legs. Well, at least we did back in the day when we actually did work. Nice. But it does bring your legs back.
I learned something today. What, Chewy of all people.
What's a bigger deal in this game tonight, Jason? The defensive line that is incredibly beat up for the Detroit Lions, or Jair Alexander missing yet another game against a talented duo of receivers for Detroit?
Yeah, neither is ideal, obviously, but I would argue that the Packers have had plenty of practice with not having Ja, so I would think that would be a lesser deal just because...
You would think with all that practice, Stokes would have, you know, either a pass defense or a interception, but here we are, 999 snaps later.
That Bill Huberstadt is unbelievable. I mean, how do you not just on accident break up a pass?
Have one hit the back of your helmet.
Right. Yeah. Incredible. But still, you make a good point, as always. But, you know, I think the Lions are still, obviously they lost Hutchinson early in the year before they even played the Packers. But I think they are still working their way through all the injuries they've had there. Whereas, again, Jair has missed so much time, 21, 23, now 24, that it's almost as if this is kind of standard operating procedure at this point.
Jason, we heard what you said on Homer the other day where you questioned whether Jair will be back next year, and I agree. The guy's been stealing for about 3 years now. But what do you think the Packers expect their players percentage-wise to play at? Because clearly when you go back to Jordan Love with the groin injury, when he came back, he wasn't 100%.
No, he wasn't.
Right.
I would agree.
Do you think they expect you to play at 95% or something along those lines? Because with Jair, he ain't playing unless he's 100%, which I don't want to play with guys like that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And, you know, as part of that conversation with Homer, because, look, you guys heard me a couple weeks ago asking the question of LaFleur about, look, I really don't feel comfortable questioning guys' toughness or willingness to play hurt because they're all a hell of a lot tougher than I am, and I don't have enough information to know whether such a question is based on what the actual reality is, right? And so then a couple days later, you know, Jair tells The Athletic that he's got a PCL tear. Now, the severity of it, I don't know. When it happened, we obviously saw him stumbling and hopping at the end of that Jacksonville game when the game-tying touchdown is caught by Evan Engram. But, again, in a vacuum of information, we're all wondering what's going on, right? So at least when he came out and said that was the case, it allowed us to have a little bit better understanding. And then you can say, okay, all right, a PCL is a legitimate injury. You talked about having one yourself, right? If I recall. So that at least helped me understand the picture. What I was intrigued by, and again, I'm always leery when I don't know the person's motivation, and I wasn't going to text LaFleur to ask him off the record about it. I try to save those correspondences for things that I deem more important. But, like, the way both he and Halfley just heaped praise upon Isaiah McDuffie for what he has done, you know, finishing the 49ers game and then playing on a short week in the Miami game and playing well with an ankle that, to listen to them tell it, sounds like it looked like that ankle that Favre had where he miraculously played for you guys that year without missing time. And it sounded to me, and it was hard not to juxtapose the kind of exasperation we've heard in LaFleur's voice whenever Jair comes up with, I mean, we got an I'm not a doctor from him this week. And I think it was about Romeo's concussion, but it was still, you could just see he's, you know, and we were talking, the little clique of beat writers that I hang out with, we were all talking about whether or not he was puckering a little bit about the big game, because he was kind of grumpy all week long. And so I just think, you know, I don't know this, but as I said to Homer, I find myself wondering, after everything that went on last year, the way this has played out, the Chicago situation, if LaFleur's just kind of at his wit's end with Jair, and maybe I'm wrong, but reading the kind of the body language and the tone of voice, it's just hard not to wonder that.
Outside of Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, who needs to have a big game offensively?
Well, look, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they can do in the passing game, because I don't know what kind of pressure they're going to be able to put on Love, right? I mean, maybe Za'Darius Smith against his former team. I think he had 1.5 sacks on Thanksgiving against the Bears, so maybe he's kind of finding a comfort zone with his new team, and he's going to cause them some problems. But I'm really curious to see, A, who emerges at wide receiver, because it's been, you know, this kind of last several weeks. The good news is you never know who's going to step up. The bad news is, you know, you don't know if they're going to step up, right? And their red zone has been pretty darn good, even without Romeo Doubs, who had been their best red zone guy. So I don't know who's going to step up in the red zone, but they have actually been very good there the last 3 weeks, especially with that 5-for-5 against the 49ers. So I'm going to say Tucker Kraft if I have to pick someone else, only because I compared him to Chewy once upon a time. And then defensively, I really want to see who is going to continue to be productive. Like, we talked to Lucas Van Ness this week, right? And you guys know, with my job, I try to follow trends and who's playing well or what's interesting about this guy. And my problem with Lucas Van Ness, it's not a personal problem, but I don't know, is this a turn-the-corner type deal? Or is this a, he's had some pretty good moments, but he's going to revert? Because I kind of feel like with Rashawn Gary earlier in the year, I got the, hey, what's that on your shirt? Boop! Thinking that he had turned a corner and he had tricked me, right? So I'm really curious, too, who up front is going to actually get Jared Goff off the spot, make his life difficult, get him out of rhythm, because if you don't, he's going to carve you up.
Jason, if they lose this game in whatever fashion it may be, will they change their approach from the standpoint they know they're destined to be a wild card team, so let's start resting guys in these last couple games and get as healthy as we can to get ready for the playoffs? You think they'll change their approach when it comes to injuries?
I don't think they will. I had not thought about that. That's a really, I hate it when I have to say this, it's a really interesting point.
I feel like you've been saying it more and more about Chewy too.
I know.
He's been hot.
What I'm, no doubt. Like I'm very concerned, frankly. Cause now I'm starting to worry. Like, I have some moments where I have like these, you know, I'm getting older and I can't remember someone's name things. And I'm a little worried about that. It being that Seinfeld episode where George and Elaine essentially switch spots, right? He gets the job with the Yankees, and she gets fired, and so I'm turning into
opposite.
Chewy. I'm turning into
Jason. It's more. I haven't got Jason. You'll remember this episode. It's more. I haven't got action in about 2 weeks, so my mind is much clearer.
All right, so I look forward to tomorrow you coming out and saying, I'm out of the contest. Yeah.
Take me to your leader.
And all the young people that listen to this show are like, what the hell are these idiots talking
about? Yeah.
I don't know if – I don't think LaFleur would do that. I think he is a – believer in obviously momentum and getting on a roll. I mean, again, I picked them to lose when we did our little TV show up here last Sunday, but I kind of am coming around to the idea, especially with all the injuries that the Lions have, that the Packers are going to win this and the momentum is just going to keep rolling. So if that does not turn out to be the case, I do not think that LaFleur thinks that way. But, and this is why your question is a good one, like when you look at how, knock on wood, healthy they have been this year for the most part, and yeah, they had to play without their quarterback, and that counts. They played without Jair, that counts. But they have not experienced, you know, 49ers or Lions level bad luck with injuries. And I guess I would be worried a little bit if I can't improve my playoff positioning very much about the other shoe dropping and having some of those situations bite me, because there have been seasons in my time covering this team where they were talking about how healthy they were, and then they had a game where they had like three or four critical players all go down in the same game.
Jason, certainly appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing what you guys have to say on Wilde and Tausch. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning as we react to this Packers-Lions game as well.
Sounds good, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. X-Golf at American Family Field, open year-round. So right now, as the weather is cold and it's terrible, Joshy was talking about how it was 11 degrees when he took his dog outside today. Clearly, we're not playing golf outside. But if you want to play golf inside, X-Golf at American Family Field is one of those places you should be considering because of the unique space that it is. Overlooking left field inside American Family Field, you can still get the state-of-the-art simulators that X-Golf has. Maybe get a golf lesson taught by my buddy, their great PGA pro, in Andy Barrett out there. What's also unique about X-Golf at American Family Field is, again, going back to that event space. If you're looking to host a holiday event, maybe a post-holiday event, your next corporate event, you should be considering that space. Not only can they put up, you know, a lot of the fun games and you can, you know, enjoy all the different simulators, but because of the space, it's a great place to be for that event. So check it all out. Find out more information at xgolfamfamfield.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say, put the past away. Wish you would step back from that.
With my parental duties this morning, gang. And before we get back to the Green Bay Packers, can I just ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Chew, Gabe.
What?
Is there anything better than an empty house? My spouse is traveling for work. Dario is covering the Packers game in Detroit. He left yesterday at like 10 a.m. So all day yesterday, I'm working quietly in my house. I got nobody bothering me. This morning, I slept beautifully last night. No snoring from the person next to me. I get up this morning, get the kiddos breakfast, get them dressed, teeth brushed, get them off to the bus. And I've got the whole house to myself. I feel like Kevin McAllister. I think I should throw a party with some cardboard cutouts and whatnot. Is there anything better than having an empty house?
No, I just had it for the last 2 days, although I got to tread lightly here because of spies. I'm trying to think of things I do differently.
Chewy, say no. Say no. It's better when your wife is home. Backpedal here, buddy. Backpedal.
No.
Retreat.
Still
retreat.
Got time.
No, it's not that bad. Like, I didn't turn the Christmas lights on because I don't want to waste electricity where she got home late last night and the Christmas lights now are all on, which is fine. But they've been off for 2 days. I'm trying to think. What will you do differently, Jen, with an empty house?
I don't know. I can't explain it because, like, there's nothing I can't do in my house when my husband is home. But it just feels different, you know? Like, you just, I don't know. If I don't want to brush my teeth, I don't have to brush my teeth. Like, it just, there's a whole,
no,
like,
you know, whoa,
vibe.
Hold on. No, you should still brush your teeth. Like, I don't care if you're not going to be around anyone. That's more of like a hygienic thing that
dental
you want to take
health.
Care of. Yeah, you want to take care of those bad
teeth.
Boys.
Do I look like I have a problem with my dental hygiene?
Oh, I'm just saying,
you know,
well,
I mean?
Like, don't skip it.
It's a vibe thing.
No.
Babe, are you telling me you've never experienced the vibe difference when your spouse isn't at the house?
I mean, I guess when It's just me and her in the house. I think this is more of a kid thing because they just bring the chaos. Like, there are plenty of times where my wife is, like, working, and because I'm working odd hours, so I might be home in the middle of the day, and she's not, so it's just me and the dog. Like, I guess it's not that rare of occurrence for me, so I'm not going to be celebrating when it happens.
I manufacture time to not have anyone around and just be me at home. If there's things I can avoid and not go to, I take that opportunity.
I mean, it was nice allowing my bruises to heal over the last 2 days. But I anticipate they'll be back tonight.
What?
Well, I get beat at night. I get beat. Okay, I snore a little bit. Not a lot, right? So the last 2 nights, I didn't get beat. And, you know.
You've been snoring away.
Start to turn yellow, which is a sign of healing. But.
And that's the thing, guys. I'm sure Dario is snoring away at his hotel in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And nobody is waking up in the middle of the night and gently nudging him, because that's the agreement that we have come to when he is snoring in the middle of the night.
Seems like you need to get on the Angie plan.
I've been asked to gently nudge him when he is snoring in the middle of the night, but I slept soundly through the night, didn't wake up in the middle of the night. There's just like a freedom, a vibe. Again, I'm not exactly sure what it is, because it's not like I can't do any of these things when he's here. But like, you know, yesterday it would have been like, hey, you want to go get some lunch? Hey, I got to run up to Dick's Sporting Goods. You want to come with me? Hey, da da da. And like, I just kind of like did whatever I wanted to do with every moment of the day. And Chewy, that's probably your existence most days.
Yeah. That, like, do your meals change? Like, I've had fish the last 2 nights because my wife hates fish. So I had fish, which was wonderful. Do yours change?
Or no? Yeah. Yeah. That's a good example of like something that you don't have to consult anyone else. You don't have to get any other feedback on what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, but this is, again, this is just Chewie's life in general. I mean, Chewie's alone most of the time anyway. Like, yeah, maybe she wasn't there at night, but big guy, I mean, she's working while you're working out. That's about the only thing you got to do other than the show.
I did do something. She accuses me of buying too many plants around the house. So when she was gone, I went and bought 4 plants and planted them. I don't think she'll find out.
This is your vice? Like this is the thing? Like, other women around the world are, like, worried about their husband gambling too much, or their husband's drinking too much, or their husband's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
and your thing is, I buy too many plants.
No, he's the meme, you know, oh, I bet he's thinking about other women, and he's thinking about, man, I could buy 4 more plants today.
Put some perennials on.
When we go to break, I walk around the property and I'll look at a palm tree and go, oh, that really needs to have that branch taken off. You know, just things like that.
Are you more into the plants down there because you don't have a lawn to mow?
The problem is the plants down, I don't have it wired in because it's such a different climate. Like, I have to have my entire grass replaced, right?
Yeah.
Because of the hurricane. The hurricane destroyed the grass. And we fiddled around with putting turf in, which my father-in-law put in his property up there. But the price of turf is it's ridiculous. So that got shot down. But normally, if we were in Wisconsin, I know the grass. I can replace it myself. But down here, things are so finicky that I really don't know what I'm doing.
Even though
I like to pretend that I do.
Here's a question I never thought I'd ask. What's your plant budget? Is your wife monitoring that? Because we know you've gotten in trouble before for spending too much money on Amazon, and you've had your Amazon privileges taken away. Has she ever threatened to take away any of the plants that you purchased?
No, because I can kind of bury it, right? Because she sheds like a dog with her hair, and it's blocked the drain in our master bedroom up. So I say I'm going to go stockpile some Drano, and I bury a few plants in there, you know? So I'll buy 4 things of Drano, and I'm like, she won't notice this $16 purchase of this little bush right here. So
How much does she think Drano is, Chew? Like, what, like, just between you and me and Gabe, obviously. Don't tell anyone else. Does she think Drano is, like, $47 a bottle?
No. Okay, so we call her dad 1972 Bob, you know? Because her dad still thinks a gallon of milk should be about $1.05.
Okay.
You know, when it's not. And now Angie is 1996 Angie, right? So she has no idea. She thinks things cost 96, and I'm like, so I go over the top the other way where a thing of Drano, she has no idea. She thinks it costs $2.20, and I'm like, those things are $12 a can with inflation when they're only like
seven. So you
can
bury your plan.
So, yes. That's how I operate.
Again, he's just one of the deeper thinkers of our generation, Jen. I don't think we've given him enough credit.
Do you avoid receipts around the house like the plague? Like as soon as it comes out, you toss it into the garbage?
Do you want your receipt? No, sir.
Yeah, nope. You can't leave evidence.
I have no idea what things cost. I'm going to shoot. I just go in and grab this, grab that, this, that, that.
Well, what do you do with your receipt?
But I'm at Home Depot a lot.
What do you do with your receipt? Because you got to make sure if you're telling Angie something costs this much and it actually costs more than that, you got to hide the evidence. You got to make sure you don't have the receipt.
Oh, I throw it right away. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't return Drano. I mean, what can you can't return a plant, right?
I think you can return a plant.
Yeah.
I think you can return everything you listed as long as it's not open.
You're not going to.
Let's stop.
You know what? I actually think they got rid of returning everything. Yep. I don't think you can return anything anymore.
Banned it at the depot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This has been your lesson with Chewonomics on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We will get back to the Green Bay Packers taking on the Lions today up in Detroit, over in Detroit, I suppose it is. I want to put it on the poll, though. Is there anything better than an empty house? Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, because I am experiencing a sort of utopia that I haven't felt in a very long time, having this entire house to myself. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings, taking an inside look at the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry it is, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
One tonight, Packers Lions in Detroit. It's a much bigger game, too, right? It's a much bigger game for the Packers because everything is still in front of the Lions, even if they lose this game. Like, they can still get the number one seed. Whereas for the Packers, if you lose this game, then you kind of just know, okay, you're going to be a wild card team. Like, there's just more on the line for the Packers going into tonight's game.
So how would it play out if the Packers do beat them? They would be behind one game? Because how would the tiebreaker work then?
So it then becomes your record, because it's the divisional, right? So you break it divisionally. What is your record in divisional games? The Packers would not – they could not lose another game in the division, and they would need the – I mean, the Lions got to lose another game anyway. They would have to lose a divisional game.
Because the Lions, after this Packer game, have the Bills at home.
Yep.
And then they have to play the Vikings. So they have two tough games after this game. Seattle is not going to be a walk in the park game.
No.
I mean, who do you think, if the Packers win this game, let's say they win by a field goal, last second field goal, what's the line the following week against Seattle?
I think the Packers would still be favored by 2 or 3, something like that, because it's a road game. You know, playing in Seattle at night, it would be a little bit tougher, but the Packers would certainly still be favored in that game.
Okay. But that's still a tough game. So I would say they both have two tough games after this one.
Yeah, without a doubt. I just, it's, there's just so much on the line where I've been waiting for so long for this game, Chewy, because it's nice to win those games. The way, in the manner in which they did. You did what you were supposed to do against teams that were hungry to get wins, against teams that were, you know, that needed to win. And granted, you know, the Niners were beat up. You took care of business. You won by double digits. You did what you were supposed to do. But all season long, when they've stepped up to that competition, when they've stepped up to the teams in the NFC that are above them in the standings, they've come up short. So this is an opportunity to me to prove that, yes, we are indeed one of these teams. We are a team that should be factored in when you are talking about teams that could go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. That's what tonight represents to me.
I think you got to hold Jordan Love to a high standard today. I think this is the game that you paid him all that money for in the offseason. You could argue, oh, no, it's playoff games. You have to win in the playoffs, keep moving on, get to the NFC Championship game. But this is the game that we have circled on our calendar to say, Jordan, if you are one of the best quarterbacks in the NFC, if you are one of the best guys to ever wear the green and gold under center and deserving of the contract that you got this offseason, this is the game, controlled environment, indoors. You've got all of your weapons, except for Romeo Doubs, obviously, who will be out with the concussion. I think this is the game that you have to show everybody that you deserve that contract and that you are the next franchise quarterback, that you deserve to be considered the franchise quarterback. I think there's a lot of expectations and pressure on Jordan Love to be the guy in this game tonight. Is that fair?
Has he gotten a pass so far?
I think he's gotten a pass-ish. I wouldn't say a complete pass, but I think that the injuries early on have allowed people to say, well, he hasn't been 100%. Well, we haven't seen the full version of Jordan Love yet this season. I think we're getting closer and we're seeing flashes of what we saw at the end of last season. But for me, this is the game where you have to bring it. This is the game where you have to show everybody it's a primetime game, Thursday night, nobody else is playing. So anybody who's interested in the NFL is watching this game. I think tonight you have to be your best version of yourself.
Yeah, plus they're 9-3, right? So I think that kind of gives him a pass, too. Of, okay, yeah, has Jordan Love been his best? Has he been the guy that he was in the second half of the last season? No. But at the same time, they're still 9-3. They're still in a really good spot heading into this final stretch of games that they have in December and then the one game in January.
I mean, where would you put him this year as far as NFC quarterbacks? I'd put him behind Hurts. I would put him...
He's behind Goff.
Behind Goff.
What a tease from our guy, Gabe. What a tease from our guy. Because Chris Canty was on Unsportsmanlike this morning, Chew, and he had very high praise for the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. We will hear from Chris Canty after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.